Don, we've talked about your poetry in the past, but can you read one now? Just start us with a poem.
Sure. I have one that I've kind of been working on for a while, and I think it's kind of fitting for, it's Poetry Month, so let's dive into it. This one's called Today Books. When I was young, book bindings, my joints, stories, and my marrow. I believed in books, in stories, in poems. I felt deep in my bones that the real world could be saved by fiction, by poetry. But now we have characters in this all-too-real world who don't read and boast, and the art of the real becomes a book deal written by a ghost. The world I wanted to save turns away from the paper pages to internet sages and soundbite outrages. News is partisan, history is partisan, education is partisan. But the science says literature creates empathy. Extra brain folds, more heart in the head means more kindness, caring, love. When I was young, I believed in books, in stories, and I still believe now more than ever.
I would have to agree with you totally, but then books for me are sacred.
Yeah, they really are sacred. And the idea that stories and poetry, our exposure to them really does, like science is now proving that it creates more folds of empathy in our brain, right? That people are more empathetic if they read fiction and kind of experience the lives of others in their imagination. And so just that idea alone is magical enough. But then to hold one and then be transported wherever that book takes you, wherever that story takes you, wherever that poem delivers you in terms of your emotions, like that's magic, right?
It is magic. One of the things that I've always thought about poetry that's different from any other narrative form is that for me, poetry can literally change the way I think.
Yeah, that's so true. It can change the way you think. It can change the way you feel. Can lift you up. Can make you sad. Can make you laugh. I think that's why I like it. I like the form because it's so direct and quick when you need it. You know, a novel, something you sit down with and you dive into that world and but you know, like in our fast-paced modern rushing life, like sometimes a poem is just what you need. It's just like the little snack for the day.
Well, Don, you grew up kind of the odd boy out in a different culture. Your family is white and you're in a Yupik community, in a Yupik culture. And you also kind of tread that line because you grew up in that culture to a lot of extent. And yet, in a way, I wonder if you, when you came out into the white culture, whether you went through culture shock then or when you were growing up.
I still tread that line of kind of knowing who I am, I think, in different ways and kind of understanding that the culture that you have is the culture that you grow up with, that you love, that you'll pass on to your kids as best you can. And so I still feel it's a weird thing to say. Like I feel invisible even here. Like I feel like I can go places and not be seen, which is such a strange thing. And I just feel like if I go back home, if I go to Bethel, I'm there and I'm a part of that place, but here I don't feel that in a lot of ways. And so, yeah, I'll feel invisible and I can't really explain that. I need to write a poem about it, I guess, you know, just to kind of make sense of that. And I think it is kind of that idea of growing up, like really maybe feeling outside a little bit. But then I felt welcome and I felt like I was a part of something, mm-hmm, out on the Kuskokwim River, where here I don't feel that connection. And so I think that's the invisibility, and that's also just me still struggling with like the idea of not living where home is.
Mm-hmm. Here, by the way, for those listeners who aren't able to see here is in Anchorage. Do you have a poem that you think treads that line really well that you might share?
Sure.
Yeah, it's a delicate line, I think. And it's hard to explain something like that to people, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. I have a poem that is about like what it feels like when I leave here and I'm flying on a plane, leaving Anchorage, flying home to Bethel. The point where I feel, I can feel it, like I can feel that I'm home. And it was me kind of thinking about how a place like the Kuskokwim River, the Kizaralik, those rivers, like how they infect you. And so this is called Tundra Tapeworm. Like a tapeworm, these rivers attach themselves to your insides. When you can peer out from your exit row at 20,000 feet and know one bend from the next, you are infected. These twists and turns burned into your brain, the arteries and veins of your life. There is no cure for this malady, no stick to wrap the worm and twist it from your guts, a half turn a day forever. So I guess that's me kind of grappling with the idea that that'll always be inside me. I'll never get rid of that. And that's, I think in a way that makes me feel good. Like that's a tapeworm I'll keep.
A tapeworm you want.
I want, yes. It doesn't make me skinny though.
Ooh, we won't go there. Do you have another poem? These are wonderful.
Thank you.
Have you figured out how long it takes you to write a poem versus a story?
Oh man, sometimes it might take me years to write a poem, and sometimes it might be, you know, over the course of an evening to kind of get the at the heart of it. Trying to think about like which ones I've read before on the radio. I don't want to do too many that people have heard before. Yeah, I'll share this one. This one I wrote in memory of my friend Chris Morgan, who I was in a band with out in Bethel, the Funky Eskimos. Played over the airwaves plenty out there. He was a drummer, and I think, I don't know, you and I were talking before this conversation about drums and music and the importance of that, and especially in our memories and our hearts. So this is called Drum On. Go today and steam bend birch twice the length of your leg to form a perfect circle. Add a handle, now cover with a seal skin, carve a narrow drumstick, elbow to fingertips. Begin to tap lightly, allow the rhythm to become the drum within us, the heart renewed. Drum on. Share this ancestral gift, the cycle of stick and skin. Remind us how each beat needs the one before and after. How rhythm without the drummer is life without breath, a silence not meant for man.
Ooh. Wow. When you write, how does it begin? I mean, for yourself, you've been writing a long, long time. What made you decide that this is something that's going to be a thread in your life?
I've always loved the way stories make me feel, and for as long as I can remember. And I wanted to do that for people. I wanted to scare people. I wanted to make them laugh. I wanted to make them cry. And I've found that in writing, I can do that to myself as well. So I can scare myself. I can crack myself up. I can make myself cry. And so, you know, I think it's always been the, I joke about it being kind of my drug of choice. Like, that's what I go to. That's what I turn to when I need to feel a certain way, or when I want a feeling that maybe I'm not having at the moment. So if I'm sad, then it's time to, like, you know, like, make myself laugh. Or if I'm just feeling like I need to extend myself in some way, maybe I need to write something scary, you know? And sometimes it's just wanting to entertain people. I think sometimes that's the job of the storyteller, is to help people heal, help them escape, help them learn and grow. And that's kind of, I guess, what I've always wanted to do. I can't explain it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've certainly done it in both narrative form and now poetry. Why write poetry? I mean, you moved into narrative. That was your first method, right?
Yeah, I've always written poetry. Whether it was just kind of silly rhyming stuff, and then in high school I was trying to write all kinds of hip-hop, rap. And yeah, I guess I've always just enjoyed it. I like wordplay. But also I think at its core, poetry, I think in poetic terms, I think in images. So when I write, I'm thinking in images. I'm not thinking a lot about the words on the page. Instead, I'm there and I'm seeing it. I'm feeling it. That's what I say. I can scare myself with writing. It's because I'm going to a scary place and I'll be there immersed in it. So if I'm writing fiction, I'm creating a world that I'm in while I'm typing. If I'm writing poetry, then instead I'm in the image, and I'm seeing the image and studying the image and thinking about it. So it's just those words that are able to kind of turn on the screen in our brain that you know, like, make people and make myself kind of see exactly what I want them to see. And I think that's kind of where again, it comes back to that magic.
Ah. You're not a writer. You want to be a magician.
There's a little bit of a trick to it. Yeah. Yeah. There's the trick to being a writer too. It is magic, except I get to feel the magic too. I think I think a magician understands the trick and knows exactly what they're doing. I don't want to know where that trick comes from. I don't want to know where these ideas come from. I like that idea that there's magic floating around and it's somehow coming through me. I'm conveying it. I don't want to take credit for any of the stuff I write. Good or bad, especially the bad.
Well, I think we have time for at least one more poem. And that's my favorite part. We can talk about poetry all you want, but I think it's the poems that rock our souls.
Do you have a request? You have anything? Do we want to go funny or?
I will. I like funny.
Funny?
Yeah.
All right, this one will work. We'll go funny. This one's, you know, like, everybody's doing social media these days, all the cool kids. And so I've had this series of poems called Death by Social Media. And this one is Death by Social Media 3.0. He needed an update. He had watched his prime expire. All the Goodreads were no longer tinder for his Kindle Fire. Pandora was open. He didn't have the emoticon to kickstart his iLife. He shared no words with friends, not even a PayPal. All sense of eHarmony was gone. Not even Shazam or Alibaba could save what was left of his Google Earth.
Well, that's, I think all of us have gotten to the point where we live on Google Earth. Can we even find our way around town without it?
I don't know. That's scary, right? Like, it's a scary idea of how, yeah, we no longer remember stuff because it was like, I'll just look it up. What did that person say? I don't know. I'll just check the email before I get to their house. What, you know? And that idea of once that stuff gets shut off or you're in a place like so many people out in the Delta live where you're, you know, you have no connection, there is no internet, then you have to go back to the basics, right? What you know, what you've learned, what the land can tell you, what your memories are of those important details somebody taught you when you were a kid.
Well, thank you for taking the time to share some of your memories today.
Oh, always fun. All my love to everybody out there and to you. Thank you so much.